Well, on Friday night, we celebrated Good Friday. We were in the park over at Freestone Park here in Gilbert with a group of fellow believers from other churches. Keith Wheeler was here, who carries the cross around the world. A great guy, a fun guy, a good friend who has seen Jesus do amazing things as he travels the world. We lifted up the name of Jesus Friday night. We remembered the cross. We remembered the width and the length, the height and the depth of God's love that was on display for all of us to see as the Prince of Glory, Jesus, went to that cross to bear our sins. It says in 1 Peter 3, verse 18, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." Jesus was put to death in the body, Good Friday, and then put in the grave, his physical body, Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus, fully God, fully man, put to death, hanging on a cross, stuck into a grave. He was put to death in the body. However, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He walked out of the grave in his resurrected body. And what Peter said is true. Jesus was made alive by the Spirit. He was made alive. I want to do this again. I've already coached you. Are you ready? He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
One more time. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. See, the greatest victory of all time. The greatest victory. Life conquered death. Come on now.
Amen.
It's conquered death. Life has conquered death. Light has extinguished darkness. Jesus overcoming the grave. But here's the interesting thing. You see, while God was moving in power, while he was bringing salvation, the world remained hopeless, confused, and lost. We've got an example of that right here. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. Jesus is alive, the world remaining hopeless, lost, and confused. Now the same day, it says in Scripture. Now we're talking about the same day that Jesus was gloriously resurrected. That same day, two of them, meaning two followers of Jesus, these just aren't lost people that didn't know what was going on. Two followers of Jesus were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself, we're talking about the resurrected Jesus. Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So here we have it, the long-awaited Messiah, the one who the prophets had been talking about for centuries upon centuries upon centuries. The resurrected King of Kings was walking beside these two guys, but they couldn't see. They didn't understand what was going on at that moment. I look at that, and the first thing I go is, what's wrong with these guys? Jesus is walking. He's resurrected. I mean, the glory of God emanating from him. I mean, wow. But they were kept from recognizing him. And I feel like I've been there in my life, too. Too often, where we don't recognize, we don't get it, we don't understand that Jesus, the resurrected King, is right there walking with us. That he's rolling out his plans. We don't get it. It's not happening. Life isn't all going the way we think it should, the way we've planned it. And so we don't even recognize that Jesus, the living God, is right there moving in us and moving through us and moving us forward in this life. Like these two guys, we're blind to what God is doing. And I'm raising my hand saying, been there, done that. And I'm not talking only about 20 years ago. Could have been 20 minutes ago. You know what I'm talking about. We don't see the whole picture. We don't see the whole picture. Scripture says this, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. Apostle Paul says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then, meaning there's coming a day, church, there's coming a day. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. I want to stop for a moment on that last phrase. The Holy Spirit, I believe, wants to highlight that for somebody in the room. God wants you to know right now that He knows you completely. He knows you. He created you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And He loves you. Every hair on your head that you have or don't have or used to have. So I'm looking around the room. Sorry, just stay focused on me. Don't look at your neighbor. It just comes out sometimes. He knows you. God knows you completely. He knows you. And when we don't see things clearly, when we don't have the full perspective, when we don't have God's perspective, things can get kind of wonky. They can get out of balance. We can start making wrong judgments, and we can even find ourselves going in the wrong direction when we don't see things God's way. Now, these two men here in Luke 24, they were walking along this road to Emmaus. They were walking away from Jerusalem, going the other direction, and they were confused. They were disenfranchised because they didn't understand everything that was going on. And so they were going the wrong direction. They were walking away from the very place that Jesus was going to display His glory, His resurrection to His disciples. They were walking away from that place. They were walking away from the very place that the Holy Spirit was about to show up in not too many days and release His baptism of fire and of power on the church. They were confused. They didn't understand. They didn't have God's perspective, and they were going the wrong direction. First point of today's message that the Lord wants us to really grasp is this. They were walking the wrong way, but grace tracked them down. They were going the wrong direction, but grace tracked them down. They had an encounter with grace. That's the title of today's message. An encounter with grace. And I believe God wants to remind you that this is the message of Easter. An encounter with grace. Grace. These men were going the wrong direction, walking away from what God was doing, but grace. This encounter with grace tracked them down. So you might be saying, you mean God will show up and He'll track me down even when I'm going the wrong direction? You might be saying that. You mean grace will track me down even if I've been in the wrong place? You mean you're telling me that grace will track me down if I'm believing the wrong news? Yes, yes, and yes. Grace will track you down. I want to give an example of this. I want to tell a story. This is a true story about a guy named John. I want to tell this story because I want you to understand just how far grace will go to track us down. In the 1700s, there lived a man named John. True story. He was raised in a Christian home, but decided to choose a different path. At age 11, he boarded a sailing vessel. He embarked on a life at sea. John quickly gained a reputation for profanity, for coarseness, for debauchery. In fact, they actually nicknamed him the Great Blasphemer. Yeah, John went so far to be part of the slave trade. to be sailing on those vessels, even to be the captain of some of those vessels. And his nickname was the Great Blasphemer. Certainly, the Great Blasphemer was beyond saving. But on March 21st, 1748, grace tracked him down. This is what he writes about that day. He says, "On that day, the Lord sent from on high and delivered me out of deep waters." He was in some deep waters. Literally, figuratively, spiritually, eternally. Grace tracked him down. John Newton turned around on that day and he went a different direction. Back to Jerusalem, you could say. Back to the plans of God. A direction that led him to actually writing the great hymn, Amazing Grace. These are the words, some of the words of that hymn. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I've never been where John went. It's not my story, but I still went the wrong direction. For much of my life, I went to places of darkness. Grace tracked John down. Grace tracked me down. Grace has tracked you down and continues to track you down. And I don't know about you, but that chokes me up. Because I don't deserve that kind of grace. John, the great blasphemer, didn't deserve that kind of grace. But this is the message of Easter. Grace will track us down. Wherever we've been, whatever direction we've been traveling, no matter how far we've drifted, grace will track us down. No one is too far gone. I love what Isaiah 59 says. Isaiah 59 says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear." Surely the arm of the Lord, surely the grace of Christ Jesus is not too short. It's not too short. God's grace will track us down because God's grace is bigger. His grace will always go further. I don't care how far we've gone. God's grace can go further. But I took that extra step. God's grace can keep going further and further and further. Beyond your expectations. Beyond where you can go. I don't care how deep the waters are that you're swimming in. God's grace can go deeper. His grace can go further. His grace can go higher. His arm is not too short to save you. It's a great reminder for us, isn't it, as believers, those of us who know Jesus and have been walking with Him? Check it out. Where was Jesus on Resurrection Sunday? We're talking about the actual Resurrection Sunday 2,000 years ago. Where was Jesus? Where was grace? He was going after the hurting, the doubting, the disenfranchised. He was going after those that were going the wrong direction. That's what Jesus was doing on Resurrection Sunday. And it's got to also be our response to the resurrection. It has to be our response. Filled with God's grace, we too must go after those who are walking in the wrong direction. Be extensions of God's grace, seeking the lost, the hurting, the disenfranchised, the confused, those who can't see clearly, that need to know that message of the cross and the resurrection. I love you. Those three words. I love you. And so the first reminder this Easter is grace will track us down. But I put in my notes, but wait, there's more. But wait, there's more. And this is the beautiful thing. With God, there's always more. He never runs out. There's always more. You think He's done the impossible. He has, but there's always more. There's always more, and there's more that God wants to remind us of about grace on this Easter Sunday. Let's listen to the rest of the conversation here in Luke chapter 24. Verse 17, let's pick it up. You ready to go? So Jesus asked these two guys, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Cleo, well, Cleopas in the Bible, but we're going to call him Cleo. One of them named Cleo asked him a question. He said, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? Don't you know the things that have happened there in these past few days? Don't you get it?" And he's talking to Jesus, the resurrected king, right? It's kind of funny, isn't it? And he says, Jesus says, "What things?" he asked. Cleopas says, "About Jesus of Nazareth," he replied. "He was a prophet. He was powerful." Now he's saying this to Jesus, right? "He was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." Jesus is going, "Yeah, I know. Been there. Done that," right? Okay, verse 21. But we had hoped." Now listen, here's where they're going. Listen, what's going on in these guys' minds and their hearts. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they couldn't find his body. They came and they told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and they found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him. So Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." These two men, they were walking away, going the wrong direction. They thought it was too late, but grace was right on time. And that's the second message of grace that I believe the Lord wants us to grab hold of. Grace will track us down, and grace is always right on time. See, these guys figured, and I get it, they figured Jesus was dead, right? He's dead. He's in the grave. Therefore, these guys were thinking, well, our dreams are dead. The dreams of salvation, of a Messiah. They're dead. They assumed that the promises had disappeared and their hopes had literally been crushed. So they were walking away, weren't they? But grace is right on time. The message of Easter for you, grace is right on time. It's not too late for you. You're not too far gone. Grace is here. The resurrected King is alive, and he's just let you know, even right now, through his word, that he is here, even right now, that he's alive. He's chased you down, and he's here. It's not too late. Hope has arrived. It's resurrection time. That's the message of Easter for your life today, wherever you are. He's right on time. Jesus is right on time. Back to Peter, but in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Listen to this truth. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's talking to you about that. You think you get impatient, right? But the Lord isn't slow in keeping his promise, as you think sometimes he's slow, because he's not wanting anyone to perish. He's being patient with us so that everyone can come to repentance. He's right on time, you see. He's always right on time. Similarly, we also discover another truth. They'd given up, hadn't they? They'd given up, but grace wouldn't let go. It's the third lesson of Easter for us. We may give up, but grace won't. Grace won't let go.
They knew it was the third day. They knew that it was impossible for a person in the grave for 3 days to be alive again. No way. Impossible. They were willing to wait 2 days, apparently, for some reason. I was thinking after 2 hours, maybe. I don't know. I guess that's done. Moving on, right? They waited 2 days, though. But for some reason, that third day, you know, after that extra time, it was just too late. It was too late, and so they gave up. They took off. They went the other direction. They wrote Jesus off. They gave up on hope. They let go of the dream. They let go of the promises that God had for them. They'd given up. They'd stopped hoping, and they'd stopped praying. So I do this frequently. I want to get personal with you, and I want this to get personal with you. Because like I've said before, it gets really personal with me all week long as the Lord puts this word in my spirit, in my heart. And I get to process all this stuff all week long. So I want to give you an opportunity to process the reality of grace. Here's some questions for you. What have you given up on? You know those things that haven't happened yet in your life that you've been waiting for a long time? Have you given up on them? What have you given up on? What prayer have you stopped praying? What promise of God have you walked away from? Have you given up on your marriage? Well, it's always going to be that way. He's always going to be that way. Have you stopped praying for your children? Well, they've walked away from God a decade ago. Been praying for years, but I'm tired. I'm giving up. Have you given up on your ministry? You know, that thing that God put in your spirit, in your heart, the way to use how He created you for His glory. Have you given up on that ministry? Have you given up on your freedom? Oh, we live in America. We're free. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about freedom from sin. Have you given up? Man, that sin just keeps coming back. I guess it's just going to always be who I am, and God's going to love me anyway, and I'm just going to have to put up with it for now and be frustrated with it and have to deal with the condemnation and shame that comes from it day in and day out and keep processing. Have you given up on being free from that sin? I always feel bad. I always feel shame from my past. I guess I'm always going to feel that way because I did that thing back then. Have you given up on being free from shame and condemnation? Have you given up on your healing? On that miracle that you've been praying for yourself or for a family member? Here's another one. Have you given up on that spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit has for you? Man, you desired it. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You heard about the gifts that are available and how we earnestly desire them. And God gives them as He wills to us. According to His purposes, He hands them out to the body of Christ. Man, I want the gift of tongues. I want the gift of prophecy. I want the gift of miracles and healing. I want those gifts, God. And you've desired those, but they haven't happened in your life up to this point at the degree that you've been desiring. Have you given up on those? Have you given up? Cleopas and his friend had given up. But grace wouldn't let go. The resurrected King Jesus hasn't let go either. He hasn't changed. He's the same today as He always will be. Maybe you've forgotten God's plans for your life. Maybe you've given up on His plans. But here's the reality. His plans remain the same. And I believe the Lord would want to highlight to you a passage of Scripture that comes from the heart of God over your life even right now from Jeremiah 29:11. Because this is the reality, still the reality for your life. God would say to you, I know the plans that I have for you.
I know you. I completely know you. And I know the plans I have for you. Those plans that I dreamt of as I created you in your mother's wombs. I know those plans. They're good plans to prosper you, not to harm you. They're amazing plans to use you for my glory. I'm paraphrasing, so if you're following along, I'm just going right now, okay? They're plans to use you for his glory, to include you as part of what he's doing. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future in him. God hasn't given up on those plans. He doesn't change. He's not wishy-washy. He hasn't given up. Grace hasn't given up, and it won't let go of you. It hasn't expired either. Even when we lose faith, Scripture tells us, even when we are faithless and we lose faith, Jesus, grace, remains faithful. It never changes. It's rock solid. God is rock solid. He doesn't change. His plans, his purposes, his dreams for your life remain the same. Grace won't let go of you. It won't let go. All right. Ready to get on the road again? On the road again. Little Willie Nelson gospel going on here. Anyway, all right. Let's go back to the road to Emmaus, that 7-mile hike that those guys were taking away from God's plans and purposes for their lives. Back on the road again, walking away from Jerusalem. Verse 28. As these two guys and Jesus approached the village, Emmaus, to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was just going to keep going further. But, it says, but they urged him strongly, stay with us. Remember that. I bolded it. You see that? Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread. Jesus did. He gave thanks. Broke it and began to give it to them. Then it says, verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. How frustrating that must have been. Oh my goodness. Ah! Whoa! Well, it was frustrating. Check out what they say here. He disappeared. They couldn't believe he was right here. We were walking with Jesus 7 miles. We had him in our house. We were having dinner with the guy. We finally figured it out. Boom! It all clicked right there. And then, whoof, he's gone. So what did they do? They got up and they returned to Jerusalem right away. Man, they're like, whoa, man, we've been going the wrong direction. Zippo! 180 return, back on the road again, 7 miles back to Jerusalem. There, in Jerusalem, they found the 11, meaning the 11 disciples, and those with them, assembled together. And they were saying, it is true! You see the exclamation point? I mean, they were like, wow, 7-mile hike, they're still like, anyway. It's true! The Lord has risen, and he's appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So finally, they invited him in. And what happened as a result of they invited him in and grace, what did he do? Revealed himself. They invited him in and grace revealed himself to them. They urged Jesus to stay with them. And he did. He did. For a moment anyway. They had to go back and catch up with him again in Jerusalem. So they invited him in. The resurrected king sat at their table, revealed himself to them. Come on, could you imagine that? The resurrected king, what kind of revelation that must have been to these guys? I mean, it must have been overwhelming. It must have been just so incredible. I mean, he revealed himself to them. He revealed his glory to them. His resurrected glory to these two guys. He revealed his love to them. His mercy. I mean, a whole nother level. We're talking about resurrected love, resurrected mercy, resurrected glory being fully displayed and revealed to these two guys. He revealed forgiveness. They had to understand forgiveness at a whole nother level now after the cross and then the resurrection. And he revealed to them what salvation really looks like and how to get it. The resurrected king. They asked him in, he came in, and revealed himself to them. This is the message of Easter. When we invite Jesus into our lives, grace will reveal himself. He's the same today with you as he was for these two guys. I was going to say they're nothing special, but they are, because you're something special too. You're so special that Christ went to the cross for you. And his desire for you is his desire for these two guys, that he would have the opportunity to reveal himself fully in his glory with salvation to you today. That's his desire for you today. And this is the deal too. God doesn't play hide and seek. Sometimes you think, yeah, I get it, but really? I always thought of God as this guy who likes to play games, like he's got a carrot dangling out in front of me. And every time I try to get close to him, he's going to move it away. And then I'm going after him again, he's going to move it away. And for some reason, we get this idea of God sometimes, like he's some kind of sicko or something. But he's not. Look at his word. Look at his character. Watch him on this road to Emmaus. That's not how he is at all. He'll track you down when you don't deserve it. You could be the great blasphemer. He's going to come. He's going to track you down. He's going to catch up with you right on time. And all you do, man, invite him in and boom! He's going to reveal himself. You're going to get the carrot. You know what I'm saying? Oh, grab it. He's going to give it to you. He's going to give you everything. All you've ever wanted, desired, and even more. He's going to give you. He doesn't play games. He's coming after you. And he wants you to have all of him. All of him. All of him. So here we are on Easter. It's no accident that you're here today, by the way. It isn't. Whatever road you're on, it's no accident that you're here right now today, because grace has tracked you down. That's why you're here. Grace has shown up at just the right time in your life, and grace, it won't let go. He won't let go. You see, the resurrected King, the Son of God, Jesus, the perfect expression of love and the very essence of grace, is here, right now, today. He's here. He's revealing himself to you right now because he wants you to walk with him. And not only walk with him today or tomorrow, but he wants you to walk with him right into eternity forever and ever and ever. He wants to enjoy relationship with you for all eternity. To know you for all eternity. For you to know his love for all eternity. That's what grace has for you today. I want to read the words of Jesus to you. But I want you to take these as he is talking directly to you right now. The words of the risen Savior. This is grace talking to you right now. He says, here I am. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. I'm standing at the door of your life right now. I'm standing at the door of your heart. I'm standing at the door of your eternity. And if you hear my voice this morning, and if you open the door to your life, to your heart, to me, I will come in. And I will live with you. And you will live with me. Now and forever. Like it was with these two men, it's the same for you today. It's the same for you today. The resurrected King Jesus is not dead. He's not far off. Jesus is here for you. And you can ask him to stay. You can invite him into your life right now. And he will come in. And he will reveal his glory, his love, his forgiveness, salvation to you right here and right now. You don't have to go out and try to clean up really quick. You don't have to wait for tomorrow. Grace is right here. Right now, for you.
the worship band begins to sing a song here in just a moment about grace, we're going to all have an opportunity, every one of us in this room, have an opportunity to respond to grace, to respond to the resurrection, to respond to those three words that still reverberate from heaven. I love you. I love you. Maybe you're already ready to invite Jesus into your life. You don't know him. You haven't walked with him. You've been walking a different direction all of your life. You've been on the road to Emmaus your entire life. But today, you've encountered God's grace and you're ready to turn around and to invite him in. This morning, in just a moment, you're going to have the opportunity to do that. Maybe you've walked with him before. You've known him, but for some reason things got cloudy. Something happened in your life, some brokenness or something occurred in your life and you lost hope and you started walking away another direction. But today grace has tracked you back down. You're ready to turn back and walk in the goodness of grace now and forevermore. This morning, you're going to have the opportunity to walk into his goodness and into his grace once again. Maybe you're in a situation where you've given up hope. Maybe you've stopped praying about something, a family member, a dream that you've given up on. Maybe you figure the promises of God are for other people. The gifts of God are for other people, but not for me. Something's happened. Something's broken. There's been disappointment in your life in some way, in some fashion. And you know in your heart that you've given up. I want to encourage you this morning, this Easter, to return to his grace. To let hope rise up in your life in that area once again. Let hope rise. We're going to sing a song about the amazing grace of God, the grace that won't let go. I want to ask the prayer ministers to come forward. And if you have any area of your life, any of these things that we've talked about, you're ready to come to Jesus, you're ready to walk into grace for the first time, you're ready to come back to grace, you're ready to allow grace back into that area of your life, I want to encourage you, don't go through the motions this Easter. It's not just about showing up right now and, okay, I did church. It's about receiving the grace of God, coming alive in Christ. He has so much for you. He wants to excite you. He wants to ignite you. He wants you to fully know him. He wants to reveal himself to you. Let's start singing that song, and I want to invite you to come up and just share with one of these prayer ministers what you're looking for from grace today. They're going to pray with you and for you, and you're going to find yourself alive in the revelation of the living God, Christ Jesus, our grace. Let's sing.
Sometimes I'm strong, sometimes I'm weak, sometimes I fall in my wandering, but through it all, there's just one thing more precious than the air I breathe. Grace, amazing grace, unfailing grace that saves my soul. Grace, unending grace, unrelenting grace that won't let go. You took our sin, you took. You took.
Again, grace is here today. This is a safe place. This is a place of life. This is a place of joy. This is a place of celebration. This is a place of healing. This is a time of transformation. This is a time to receive the love of God. There are moments in our lives where we have an opportunity to see everything change, to see transformation. There are moments in our lives where grace is released in special ways. It has tracked you down. Jesus has tracked you down today. If there is a situation in your life, a loved one, somebody that you need to be ignited in hope for once again, I want to encourage you to come forward. Let grace fill you up again. Refilled with grace. If you've walked in this room and you don't know grace, today is the day of salvation for you. It's the day when everything will be made new because grace has tracked you down. Even right now, He's releasing salvation on people. He's releasing freedom on people and new life. This is what God has done for us. I want to encourage you as you move on with your life that you don't move away from Jerusalem, that you don't move away from the resurrection or from Easter, but that you live in it and that you walk in it every moment of every day. Grace has tracked you down. He won't let go. And I want you to bring that grace to everyone you come in contact with. The world needs the grace of Jesus Christ. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We're the deliverers of grace in our community and in our culture. Go forth on this Easter Sunday, understanding the resurrection that we have in Christ and releasing that resurrected life over everyone you come in contact with, and watch grace blow your mind, because it will every single time. Have a great rest of your Resurrection Sunday. Go in peace, go in grace, and go in the joy of the Lord. God bless you.